I'm Dave Williams from Preston in the UK.
And I'm Jeff Sheng from Brisbane, Australia.
Together, we'll be presenting ACB Radio Mainstream's coverage of the 6th General Assembly of the World Blind Union, which starts on Monday, the 6th of December.
The World Blind Union is an international non-governmental organisation composed of over 150 member countries representing hundreds of organisations of and for the blind throughout the world.
The World Blind Union plays a crucial role as a vehicle for the exchange of views and experience for those of us who are blind,
and serves as a reference point on issues such as education, rehabilitation, employment, technology, social welfare, blindness and ageing, equality of blind women, opportunities for youth, and the enhancement of quality of life for people who are deafblind. So join me, Jeff Sheng,
and me, Dave Williams,
live from Cape Town, South Africa,
from Monday, the 6th of December, on ACB Radio Mainstream.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear ACB Radio. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, ACB.
Happy birthday, ACB Radio.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Very warm welcome to ACB Radio's Main Menu. I'm Dave Williams. Main Menu is a regular look at technology from a blindness perspective, first heard on ACB Radio Mainstream each Wednesday at 1 Universal, and during the US winter, that's Tuesday evenings at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Don't forget, of course, next week Main Menu won't be on, as ACB Radio Mainstream will be covering the 6th General Assembly of the World Blind Union. This week on Main Menu, we look at the new public beta of Window Eyes 5.0. We first speak with Eric Deckers, the Sales and Marketing Manager with GW Micro, and then hear from Carlos Taylor, who demonstrates some of the new features in Window Eyes 5.0. Being the Director of Sales and Marketing for an assistive technology company must be a busy job at the best of times. We were delighted, therefore, when Eric Deckers of GW Micro agreed to give us some of his time ahead of the launch of Window Eyes 5.0 public beta, or as we say in the UK, beta. I began by asking Eric how long he'd been with GW Micro.
On December the 4th, it will be 7 months with the company.
What brought you into the assistive technology industry?
Well, originally I was in poultry and worked for a company that sold poultry feeding equipment. But I had a strong marketing background and strong sales background. And so when I learned of the position with GW Micro, I applied and they hired me. So it was actually a nice fit, because the company that I used to work for has the same corporate philosophy that GW Micro has, and that is putting the customer first and really responding to customer needs, as well as creating a good quality product. So it was a stroke of luck that I am where I am now, but it's all because of where I was before.
And what's your perception, as somebody who's new to the assistive technology industry, what's your perception of the industry? What kind of state do you find the industry in?
I'm just amazed by what's out there and basically what is being done to allow people with any kind of disability to work. I think it's very important. It really adds to a person's sense of self-worth to know that they're contributing something. And so I'm really proud to be a part of an organization that contributes to that in such a significant way. I've talked to a lot of people in the past 6 months that I've been here who have said that a product like Window Eyes really has changed their life, because it allows them to do something more than just sit at home or perform a job that is, quote, typical of somebody who is blind or has a visual impairment. as far as maybe our role, I do think of us as the top choice in screen readers, and we have played a significant role in the technology and the advancements that allow people to do this kind of work. We have led the way in a lot of the different developments in screen reader technology, like allowing people to read a PDF with a screen reader. We were the ones who showed Adobe what had to be done in order to allow anybody with any kind of screen reader to read a PDF. The same is true with Citrix, with PeopleSoft, with Macromedia Flash, so many different developments that we've been able to spearhead.
By the time this goes to air, the public beta of Windows 5.0 should be available to the masses, and people will be able to go and get that. And we'll come on and we'll talk about that shortly, and lots of exciting stuff happening there. But one of the things that struck me about the 4.5 service packs was there were four of them. Why was that?
It's kind of a good bad thing. It's bad because you have to monitor the website and monitor the discussion list to see if the new service pack is out. But at the same time, it's also a good thing because, first of all, it shows that we are responsive to any problems that may arise. And we fix these problems right away. So they came out rapidly because we fixed those problems so quickly. We can actually trace all of that back to our automated error reporting. And we were the first company in the assistive technology industry to have that. And what that does is when there is a problem with WindowEyes, we get notified electronically about that problem. And when enough of the same problem come to us, we can identify it and fix it immediately.
All four of the service packs came without any additional charge to registered 4.5 users, and that's a good thing.
Our big focus is always customer service, and we put the customers first. And we don't think it's fair to charge a customer for what is basically our error. I mean, if we make a mistake and we need to fix it, it's our job to fix it. We shouldn't make anybody pay for any problems that we've had. And our ongoing development is also related to customer service and putting the customers first. You know, we do these kinds of things because we want to have a stable product, because we're not doing our jobs. We're not letting people do that if we don't respond to these problems right away.
Do you think there's been a culture within assistive technology of fixing things and calling them upgrades and charging users for them?
I don't know if I would call it a practice, and I guess I say that because I haven't been in the industry long enough to notice any trends. I do know there are occasionally some companies that do that, and not just in the assistive technology industry. That's true in software in general. I do a lot of work with graphic design and page layout and different software products like that, and I've seen where some of these big mainstream companies will often charge for the upgrade that fixes a previous bug. So I don't think it's specific only to this industry, but like I said, I don't know if that's a trend or just a once in a while practice.
Version 5 then. What's the big story with version 5? I'm thinking Office.
Well, unfortunately, it won't be all of Office. We realized we were going to have some problems with getting everything out. People were already clamoring for any kind of changes and upgrades to version 4.5, and we knew that we would be looking at many, many more months if we tried to do all of Office. So what we did instead is we focused on Microsoft Word, since that's the most popular facet of Office and has the largest number of users, and we worked to make that basically the best that it can be. And I think that we, with 5.0, will have the best Microsoft Word support available. We're going to be doing things like we will have 100% text accuracy 100% of the time, and this is going to be a first for any screen reader. A lot of screen readers currently get their information through what's called the off-screen model, and it's like looking down on the monitor and reading what's there, but that information is not always correct. And so we will get our information from the DOM, or the document object model, and we will get that text information directly from Word itself. And so I always make the comparison, it's like being in a conversation or being told about the conversation later. You can obviously figure out which one is going to be more accurate, and so we are taking that being in the conversation approach. We will also be able to do things like read columns, read tables, read field forms and the fields within it. You can even rename form fields without any special scripting or any special steps. So that's been our big focus and the big improvements that we're really proud of this. And so we're really excited to have this available to people.
There has been some criticism of GW Micro in the amount of time that it has taken to get support for even some of the most basic elements in Word, like tables, I'm thinking of particularly. We are approaching the end of 2004, and Microsoft Word certainly isn't a new product, and neither is Windows. And certainly the competition has had a comprehensive table support there for a while. What do you think the reasons for that are?
Well, a few years ago, we made the decision on which direction to go, and we were kind of at a crossroads. Do we go with Internet Explorer, or do we go with Microsoft Office? And so we kind of looked around and thought this, you know, hey, this internet thing might be kind of big, so maybe we should focus on this. And then this was in the time of, you know, the new commerce and the new economy that everybody was talking about, and more people using the internet. And so we really focused our support efforts on Internet Explorer. And so we do have the most stable and most reliable user experience with Internet Explorer. We don't have crashes and freezes. And so we focused on that rather than Office at the time. And so, yes, we are getting some criticism because of that, but I think if we had gone with Office first, then people would be criticizing us for our Internet Explorer non-support. So, you know, we can't please everybody all the time. So we had to make a decision. And with a small company like ours, with a small production and development staff, we did have to make that choice. And it does take a little longer than we would like. But at the same time, we're being so thorough about it that when it's all said and done, our support and our accessibility just won't be able to be, you know, you can't beat it. We'll have other things like being able to read columns, reading comments, tracking changes, basically any feature that Microsoft Word has that is not graphic related, like inserting a piece of clip art, anything that's not related to that, we're going to support. So generally, you name it, we'll be able to do it.
We heard a demonstration earlier in the year from Doug Joffrey of I think at that stage it was an alpha, a fairly early alpha of version 5. We heard some quite exciting stuff with the spell checker and the grammar checker. Did you want to talk a little bit about that?
Basically, we're going to have a few different ways that you can access the spell check information. Rather than hitting the F7 key to bring up the spell check window and then trying to navigate around that, it will actually be possible with hotkeys to jump from misspelled word to misspelled word. When you encounter that word, you hit another hotkey to bring down your contextual menu and then just arrow through the different choices until you find the one that you want. And so it's going to make spell checking a document much easier and a whole lot faster. The same thing is going to be true for the grammar.
The ability to jump between spelling errors using Windows hotkeys raises an interesting philosophical question, which has been posed on this program previously. The lines are becoming increasingly blurred between what is the interface to the screen reader and what is the interface to the application, and that screen readers have for some time augmented applications with additional functionality like this ability to jump between spelling errors, which isn't an authentic Word feature, but is something that is an augmentation that Windows will add. How far do we go down that route? For people who are training new users to assistive technology, doesn't that make their jobs more difficult to teach Windows separately from the screen reader?
We never want to change the functionality of the application itself. And so we always look at our hotkeys more as shortcuts. So currently, Word doesn't offer any kind of support for you to just tab between misspelled words, because they're relying on people being able to see the screen, and so seeing a red squiggly underline under a misspelled word. And so you spot that on the screen, and then you can just make the change. So they don't have the functionality to be able to just tab around to it. So we have added that as a shortcut. It would almost be like adding just a macro. It shouldn't be any more difficult for somebody to train, because if they already know Word, we're just adding a few things to it. We're not doing something completely different. And we always say around the office that we want people to use their computer, not their screen reader. And so we've taken that philosophy into all of our development work, making sure that we're not changing how you access certain functions or how you use certain keystrokes. We're just adding to that.
You don't think that kind of support is really the responsibility of the manufacturer of the word processing application, i.e. Microsoft. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I think it's a great feature, and I'm really looking forward to using it. I just worry that there will come a point where it will be almost impossible to tell what Windows is doing and what the screen reader is doing and where the one stops and the other one begins.
You know, on the one hand, it would be nice if somebody like Microsoft could include certain features, but at the same time, they've already got so much that they're packing into it that they've got to draw a line and say, we've got to stop here, otherwise we'll be in development for the next 10 years. Adding all these new features and never actually release a product. So it can be argued that it is their responsibility, but at the same time, I think it may be better for a company like GW Micro to handle this, because we have a specialized group of customers who have specialized needs. And so who better to meet that than a company that specializes in that very niche, rather than a big, giant, multinational corporation who is trying to meet the needs of everybody and all of their users. So we're preventing people's needs and voices from being lost in the crowd.
Were there any other features in Word that are going to appear in the Windows Eyes 5.0 public beta, or beta, as I should be saying?
We will have a README document that's available with the public beta download. There are so many different features and improvements that we're making that there are almost too many to list here. But anybody who goes to the website, gwmicro.com, and they download the 5.0 beta, find that README document, and we will cover all of the different features that we'll have available there. As far as other changes and improvements to 5.0 go outside of Word, we'll also be offering a complete color dictionary. And this is a feature that, rather than using complex color descriptions like R204, G51, B51, will now describe a shade of a specific color. So instead of getting that RGB formula, you may be told this color is a shade of fire brick red on white background.
We might want to take some time to talk about what a public beta means. It's not something that's suitable for everyone, is it?
When we go into development, the first thing we offer is the private beta, and that allows a select group of our beta testers to use the product and try it out and give us feedback and report any bugs and errors that they find. And these are generally people who are very knowledgeable about computers, and so if something goes wrong and actually messes up their computer, they can fix it. For the public beta, we go beyond that. We fix these big, major, crippling errors. Not that there are any, but if there were, we would have fixed them. And we allow the general public to download the beta and try it out. However, we don't make any claims about what it would do or would not do to a person's system. You basically assume the risk by doing this. So in that sense, we don't recommend it for everybody. Somebody who's brand new to computers, you may not want to try this out, but somebody who's pretty familiar with it, with a computer, they know their way around the desktop and the operating system, and they can fix a couple of basic problems and do basic installations and uninstallations. Sure, this is something they should be trying.
Do you have a planned release schedule for 5.0, when you would like to see the final version shipping?
Well, being the marketing guy, I'd like to see it ship next week, but I've been told that's impossible. So it will hopefully be sometime after the first of the year.
Let's talk about lease to own. It sounds like a fairly simple concept, but yet it is a breakthrough. And we were talking earlier about assistive technology is prohibitively expensive for many, but you guys have come up with this idea to try and make it a little bit more affordable, a little bit more accessible. How does the lease to own program work?
Well, basically what will happen is a customer or a user will buy a 30-day evaluation disc, and it's a full working copy of WindowEyes, but it will only run for 30 days. At the end of that 30 days, it turns into a 30-minute demo, which you can download from the website right now. However, a person can purchase a 30-day access or 30-day lease access that will allow them to use that evaluation disc for another 30 days. Now, based on the lease-to-own program they've chosen, they will purchase these 30-day accesses for 9 months or 11 months and use WindowEyes for that amount of time. At the end of that 9 months or 11 months, we will mail them a full working copy of WindowEyes. And so they have paid everything off. They can take their evaluation disc and stick it in a drawer somewhere, and now they've got their full working, fully paid for version of WindowEyes.
9 and 11, they seem fairly arbitrary values. Can you talk us through the thinking behind that?
Well, we took turns at the company dartboard, and 9 and 11 is what we came up with. But no, seriously, actually, we took the retail price of WindowEyes, which is $795, and then we added either a single upgrade or an SMA, which is three upgrades to the price, and figured out a lot of the accounting costs and things like that, and came up with a $950 price and $1,150 price. So the customer buys that 30-day evaluation disc for $50, and then they purchase the 30-day lease code for $100 for 9 months or 11 months thereafter.
If you have a choice between leasing and buying outright, is it going to work out more expensive to lease?
The customer can choose whether they want what's going to be called the lease to own plus, which is WindowEyes plus one upgrade, or the lease to own premium, which is WindowEyes plus the SMA. And they can choose which one they want. It will be slightly more expensive. It'll be $56 more total than just buying it outright. But the benefit is going to be that rather than saving $100 a month for 9 months and not using the program, you'll be able to use it as you need it and still pay for it.
And can somebody take a payment holiday?
To a point they can. We ask that people who join the Lease to Own Plus program, that's the 9 month program, we ask them to pay it off in a year. For somebody who joins the Lease to Own Premium program, which is the 11 month program, they have 14 months to make that, to pay that off. So they can take a break of a month or two and still be okay.
Let's conclude then by giving contact details for yourself and GW Micro.
Okay, well, I can be reached by email at eric@gwmicro.com. That is eric@gwmicro.com. You can also reach us at sales@gwmicro.com. You can find us on the web at what else? gwmicro.com. Or you can call us at area code 260-489-3671.
Eric Deckers of GW Micro, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carlos, and welcome to this demonstration of the upcoming release of WindowEyes 5.0. WindowEyes 5.0 is going to focus primarily on Microsoft Word. Future releases of WindowEyes will enhance functionality in the other Microsoft Office products, but for 5.0, Word was the main focus. Before we get to our demonstration, let's talk about some things you'll need to know before you install the beta or even the full version once it's released. You'll have to be running Microsoft Word 2000 XP or 2003 to take advantage of the new features and functionality that WindowEyes offers in a Microsoft Word document. In addition to that, You'll have to be sure to install the latest service packs that have been released by Microsoft for your version of Microsoft Word. For Microsoft Word 2000, as of this recording, the latest service pack is Service Pack 3. For Word 2002, or XP, is at Service Pack 3. For Word 2003, the latest service pack is Service Pack 1. So you'll have to be sure to visit http://office.microsoft.com to check for the latest updates for your version of Word. You can also open Microsoft Word, go to the Help menu, and in the Help menu there's an item that will allow you to check for updates, and it'll take you to a website. Whichever way you get there, be sure to go to the link that says Check for Updates and follow the prompts that you'll be presented to make sure that your version of Word is up to date. In prior versions of WindowEyes, it was important that you had only the standard and formatting toolbars showing, and they had to be on separate rows in order for WindowEyes to work correctly with Word. However, now that WindowEyes is using the document object model, the toolbars do not affect how the document is read. As a matter of fact, now that the document object model is being used, you should be able to hear 100% accuracy with text. In the past, WindowEyes would get things somewhat confused and you'd have to do a redraw to get everything corrected, but now you don't have to worry about that. You have 100% accuracy now that Word and WindowEyes are communicating with each other, and WindowEyes is getting the information from the document object model within Microsoft Word. I'm going to bring up my run dialog. I'm going to hold down the Windows key and press the letter R.
Dialog. Run.
And I'll type WinWord. That way I won't have to search for the icon to open
desktop.
Word.
List view. Document 1 Microsoft Word. Style normal.
Okay.
Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Normal view. Document 1.
And now we're in a blank document of Microsoft Word. Notice that WindowEyes read some information pertaining to our document. We heard the page number, the view that we're in, and column 1 of 1. If we want to hear that information again, all we have to do is press the Speak Summary hotkey, which is Control-Shift-S, as in Sam.
Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Normal view. Document 1.
So right off the bat, you'll notice some additional information that WindowEyes is giving us in our blank document. Let's type a sentence.
T space.
Well, we're not going to worry about any spelling errors right now because we'll use that for a later demonstration. And we'll press our read line hotkey.
This is the FRT paragraph.
Wow, I really screwed up that sentence. But that's all right. We'll fix it up here. Let's go to the beginning of the line with the home key.
Beginning of line. T.
And let's select this word.
Tis. Selected.
Control shift right arrow. And let's make this word bold with control B.
Bold on.
There we go. Let's go on to the next word. Let's select is.
Is. Selected.
And let's make it italicized.
Italicon.
And let's go to the next word.
T.
And select it. Again, Control Shift Right Arrow.
The selected.
And we'll make this underline.
Underline on.
If you just read the line, I'll hit the read line hotkey.
This is the FRT paragraph.
Wow, I can't believe I did such a horrible job there. We won't get that information automatically. We'll have to turn on our attribute changes. Some of the hotkeys have been changed around, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But attribute changes is one of the hotkeys that's changed. And that is now Control Shift Alt A.
Attribute changes on.
And now if we go through and we just read the line here.
Times New Roman 12 point bold. Tis. Italic. Is. Underline single. The. Normal. FRT paragraph.
So WindowEyes is telling us every time the text changes. And then once it's back to normal, it announces normal. The thing about this, if you used WindowEyes in the past, is that we now hear underlined. Notice it even said single, because if we had a double underline, WindowEyes would tell us. Let's turn our attribute changes off.
Attribute changes off.
And let's go to the beginning of the line with
beginning of line.
Home.
T.
Another really nice feature here is the cursor position hotkey has been greatly enhanced. We can press Control and the plus key on the number pad.
0.00 inches from left, 1.00 inches from top, page 1.
Let's arrow to the right one time.
I.
And let's press the cursor position hotkey again.
0.10 inches from left, 1.00 inches from top, page 1.
That's really significant because if I go to the beginning of the line.
Beginning of line. T.
And tab.
0.50 inches from left, 1.00 inches from top, page 1.
Window eyes will tell us how far we've tabbed over. Let's go to the end of the document.
This is the FRT paragraph.
Press Enter. What's our cursor position here?
0.50 inches from left, 1.19 inches from top, page 1.
So automatically, Word has indented our next line. This is something I personally really enjoy now, because in the past, the cursor position was not as accurate, and there were times I didn't know that Word was automatically doing something, and therefore my papers or my documents would really have a horrible format to them. But now with the accuracy of the cursor position, we're now able to tell where the cursor is. Let's go back up to the top line.
Of the document. This is the FRT paragraph.
Let's say we want to know more information about this line, or this paragraph, or this character that our cursor is sitting on. We have a new hotkey with Insert E.
Button. OK. Dialog. Character formatting. Attributes bold. Size 12 points. Font name Times New Roman. Style normal. Line spacing single. Paragraph align left. First line 0.50 inches. Default. Button. OK.
So we hear a lot of information about the character that our cursor is on and the line that our cursor is on and the paragraph that we're in.
Document 1,
we'll
micro.
Press Enter. Let's select this line.
Beginning of line.
Hit Home and Shift End.
This is the FRT paragraph.
And we'll center this with Control E.
Center paragraph.
Now let's press Control E and see what happens.
Dialogue. Character formatting. Attributes bold. Size 12 points. Font name Times New Roman. Style normal. Line spacing single. Paragraph align center. First line 0.50 inches. Default. Button. OK.
So we're able to tell the alignment of the paragraph, how far it's indented, and what have you.
Document 1, Microsoft Word.
We can also press Home.
Beginning of line.
And let's see what our cursor position hotkey says.
2.50 inches from left, 1.00 inches from top, page 1.
So we have a lot of information about how our document is formatted and the characters and everything. Now let's check out our spelling errors here. In Microsoft Word, you can press F7 to bring up the spell checking dialog. Word will go through each and every word in the document and give you a list of corrections for any misspelled words that it finds. However, for sighted Word users, a red line is drawn under the misspelled words and a green line is drawn under any grammatical errors. So they can quickly look at the screen and see, oh, well, this word in the middle of the page has a red underline, so that, you know, draws their attention right to that word that's misspelled. There's a couple different ways that we can go about a misspelled word. We can press our previous and next misspelled or grammatical error hotkey, that's alt apostrophe for the next and alt semicolon for the previous. So let's press Insert Tab.
List box. Spelling errors S. Top. Tis. 1. Of 2. Dialogue. 2 spelling errors.
We're placed in a list box of our spelling errors. Let's arrow down.
Bottom. FRT. 2. Of 2.
And that's another misspelled word found in our document. Let's tab through the dialogue. This is very much like the Insert Tab that you will find in Internet Explorer with Window Eyes, where you can bring up a list of links.
Button. Focus item.
We'll tab.
Button. Cancel C.
There's a focus item, which will place your cursor right on that item. A cancel, which will take you out of this dialogue. Let's tab again.
Button. Radio button. Checked. Sorting order. Document D. 2. Of 2.
You can sort the document order, or let's arrow up.
Top. Radio button. Checked. Sorting order. Alphabetic P. 1.
You can sort them in alphabetical order. So let's go back.
Button. Radio button. Checked. Sorting order. Document D. 2. Of 2.
To the document order and press tab.
Radio button. Checked. Information selection. Spelling errors L.
This controls what is shown in the list box. Right now it's showing our spelling errors. Let's arrow down.
Radio button. Checked. Information selection. Grammatical errors G.
So now it's showing our grammatical errors. If we tab.
List box. Grammatical errors S. Top. Bottom. This is the FRT paragraph. 1 of 1.
Have found one grammatical error, which is actually our first sentence, the only sentence we have right now in our document. Let's shift tab.
Radio button. Checked. Information selection. Grammatical errors G.
Let's see radio if there's button. Anything else.
Checked. Information selection. Spelling errors L.
Since there's only spelling and grammatical errors, those are the only things that we have available to us. If there were form fields in the document, we could access that. If there were revisions or footnotes in the document, those would also be in this list box for us to choose from. And then we could tab to the list and go to the one that we want and press enter.
Top. This. One.
So we'll go here. The first word, which is supposed to be this, and press enter. We'll place our
document one
cursor
Microsoft
right
Word.
There.
Style normal. Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Normal view. Document 1.
We can now press our context menu key.
Context menu.
And arrow down.
Ties.
That's not what we wanted.
Tips.
Nope.
Hits.
Nope.
This.
There we go. We arrow down to this. If we're curious about the spelling, we can press the speak summary 2 times.
This. T. H-I-S.
And that is indeed what we want, so we can press enter. And we'll go back and read this line.
This is the FRT paragraph.
Great. So we've made our first spelling correction. Let's go and let's see if we press insert tab
list
again.
Box. Spelling errors S. Top. Bottom. FRT. 1 of 1.
And
dialogue.
That's the only one left, so we'll press enter to
document
go to that.
One Microsoft Word.
And it puts our cursor right on that word. We can push the current word hotkey.
FRT.
And if we press it again, we'll get the spelling.
FRT.
And it's supposed to be first. I'm not sure if Word will pick up that or not. Let's press our context menu key.
Context menu.
Arrow down.
FRT.
Nope.
Fret.
Nope.
Fort. Frit. Fret. Ignore all I.
Nope, it didn't find it. So, for
space.
Demonstration purposes, let's
F.
give a little
R. T.
Help. We'll put an S,
S.
in here.
FRST.
We're only missing one letter. So now let's press the context menu key.
Context menu. First.
There we go. Again, if we want it spelled, we press the speak summary hotkey 2 times.
FIRST.
And that is what we want, so we'll press enter. And now we can read our line.
This is the first paragraph.
And that is exactly what I intended to write. If we press our previous and next grammatical or misspelling
no error.
Hotkey.
No errors.
Nope, no errors. If we press insert tab.
Button. Cancel C. Dialog. 0 comments. Comments S. Group box. Information selection. Radio button. Objects. Unchecked.
So, essentially there's nothing for it to find that it can put in a list box.
Button. Cancel C.
So we'll go to cancel
document.
And get out of that. That's how we can easily find and make corrections to our spelling errors and what have you. One thing that a lot of Windowize users have been asking for is a way to navigate tables in Microsoft Word. That is now able to be done. Let's go to the end of the document with Control End.
End of document.
And we'll press Enter a couple times here. We'll press the Alt key.
My left pull down.
And arrow to the right.
Add V pull down. View V pull. Insert I pull. Format. Tools key. Table pull down.
And there's our table menu. We'll arrow down.
Draw a table. Insert I pull down.
And we want to insert a table.
Table. T dialog.
I'll press enter again.
Insert table. Rich edit. Number of columns. 5.
So our number of columns is 5. Let's reduce that to 3.
6.
Oops. We'll arrow down.
5. 4. 3.
And we'll tab.
Rich edit. Number of rows. 2.
And let's make that 3. We'll arrow up.
3.
And let's press enter from
document
here.
Document 1 Microsoft Word. Table 1 3 rows 3 columns. R1 C1. Style table grid. Page 1 of 1. Column 1 of 1. Normal view. Document 1.
If you've used the table mode in Internet Explorer with Windowize, you'll note that Windowize will say R for row and C for column. So R1 means row 1, C1 means column 1. WindowEyes is using the same hotkeys in Word to navigate tables as it uses in Internet Explorer to navigate tables, and that is the insert and arrow keys. However, in previous versions, the insert, up, down, left, and right arrow keys were the voice parameter keys, so to avoid conflicts, those have been moved to Alt, Control, Up, Down, Left, and Right arrow key. So if you want to increase or decrease whatever parameter you, you've selected with the voice parameter hotkey, you would use Control, Alt, Up, and Down arrow to increase or decrease, and Control, Right arrow to select the voice, and Control left arrow to select the parameters such as rate, pitch, tone, and volume. So let's navigate this table with our insert and arrow keys. We don't have any text in our table, but we'll add some. Let's go to the second column in the first row. So I'll hit insert right arrow.
R1 C2 blank cell.
And now we're in R1, which is row 1, C2, or column 2. Let's go to the right again with insert right arrow.
R1, C3, blank cell.
And that's our third column in the first row. Let's go down.
R2, C3, blank cell.
We're still in the third column, but now we're in the second row. We're moving down. Rows go across, columns go up and down. So essentially we have what's like a tic-tac-toe board here.
R3, C3, blank cell.
So let's go back to the first cell. We can get there very quickly by going to the first cell in this row with Control Insert left arrow.
R3, C1, blank cell.
So we're still in row 3, column 1. We just jumped from column 3 to column 1. And now we can jump to the first cell of this column with Control Insert up arrow.
R1, C1. Blank cell.
So let's type in some text.
T-I-S-R-S space O-L-U-M and space 1 space 1 period.
And we can read that.
This is column 1 of row 1.
Let's go down.
R2-C1 blank cell. I-T space I-S space A space O-S-A-1 space E period.
It's a cold day outside is what I wrote.
It is a cold day outside.
And we'll go down to the next row.
R3C1, blank cell. I, space.
In previous versions of Microsoft Word, if you came into a table, A, you wouldn't know it was a table, and B, WindowEyes would just read straight across the columns, straight across the rows, rather, not giving any indication to column boundaries. But now WindowEyes pays attention to all the column boundaries. Let's go up to
R2C2, R1C2, blank cell.
And if we try to go up again,
first row.
We're in the first row. So let's type
T-I.
This is the
space.
Second column
C.
Of row
W space
1
period.
Let's read that sentence.
This is the second column of row 1.
Let's move to the first column.
R1, C1. This is column 1 of row 1.
And let's use our up and down arrow keys and see what happens.
R2, C1. It is a cold day outside. R1, C1. This is column 1 of row 1.
So as I arrow up, even though in the same row along with this text,
R1, C2. This is the second column. Row 1.
WindowEyes did not read anything but what was in this first
R1, C1. This is column 1 of row 1.
Column. If we go to the middle
R1, C2. This is the second column.
Column.
Row 1.
And arrow down.
Row 1. R2, C2. Blank.
We see blank. It's not reading anything to the left or to the right of this column.
R3, C2. Blank.
And if we keep arrowing.
Leaving table 1. Style normal. Blank.
WindowEyes announces that we've left the table and now we're on a blank line. WindowEyes now also gives you access to style information. Let's press enter a couple times and we'll type in another line of text.
T space I E period.
Let's see. We wrote this is a title.
This is a title.
And let's go back
line.
And select
T.
this line.
This is a title. Selected.
And we'll apply a Heading 1, Control-Alt-1.
Apply Heading 1 style.
That's a Microsoft Word hotkey. So arrow up.
Blank.
And arrow back down.
Style Heading 1. This is a title.
And WindowEyes tells us that this is Style Heading 1. Let's see what type of formatting this Heading 1 applied to our text. Let's put our cursor on the first letter here.
T.
And we'll press Insert E.
Button. OK. Dialogue. Character formatting. Attributes bold. Size 16 points. Font name Arial. Style Heading 1. Line spacing single. Paragraph align left. Default. Button. OK.
So now we know that the Heading 1 style is bold in 16-point fonts and Arial, and it's aligned to the left.
End of
Let's go to the next line. When we left that area, let's arrow left.
Style Heading 1.
And arrow right.
Style Normal.
We're back into normal text. Let's type another line. This is the second
space
title.
Period.
And we'll select this
line. This is the second title. Select it.
And we'll apply a Heading 2 style, Control-Alt-2.
Apply Heading 2 style.
Now, let's go to the
beginning
first letter.
Style Heading 2. T.
And let's see what kind of formatting this is added to our text.
Dialogue. Character formatting. Attributes bold, italic. Size 14 points. Font name Arial. Style Heading 2. Line spacing single. Paragraph align left. Default. Button. Okay.
And
button.
We'll press Enter. That was the Insert E dialog again, telling us that our text was now in 14-point size font. Still an Arial font. That's what it applied with the Heading 2 style. So again, we're getting a wealth of information with these WindowEyes keys. Now let's talk about forms. A lot of times, forms are created in Microsoft Word, which allows you to fill in various fields, much like you would on a form on a web page. Let's go into a file that I have.
Open.
Do a Control O.
List view.
I have a
form.doc.
There we go. I press Enter. Open this.
Form.doc Microsoft Word. Edit box. Page 1 of 1. Print layout. Form.doc.
So now we're on an edit box. And this is something that WindowEyes would have never said in the past. We would have never heard edit box. Let's start tabbing.
Edit box. What is your quest?
So now we have an edit box that says, what is your quest? We can shift tab.
Edit box. What is your name?
You could also use your up and down arrow keys. Let's arrow down.
Edit box. What is your quest?
And we'll arrow down again.
Edit box. What is your favorite color?
So we can fill in these edit boxes if we want.
Checkbox. This is a checkbox. Checked.
And again, if you wish to skip quickly from one form field to another, you can press Insert Tab.
List box. Form fields S. Top. What is your name? 1 of 17. Dialogue. 17
so
form fields.
Arrow down.
What is your quest? What is your favorite color? This is a checkbox. This is a list of colors. Enter something to do. 6 of 17.
So let's say we want this one. We can press Enter.
Form.doc Microsoft Word. Edit box. Enter something to do.
And we're placed right in that edit box. Let's say we want to go back to the first edit box. We could press Control Home, but we can also press Insert Tab.
List box. Form fields S. Top. What is your name? 1 of
and
17.
And we can press
Dialogue.
Enter.
17 Form.doc Microsoft Word. Edit box. What is your name?
So this gives you a lot of functionality, ability to navigate a form. Now, the author of the form has the ability to label these edit boxes through help text or status text, but you could also, if for whatever reason you have a form that doesn't speak very well and maybe something you need to use on a regular basis, you can manually label the form fields with the Control Insert F hotkey. Let's do that.
Edit box. Dialogue. Enter field name.
So let's type in how old are you?
Question.
And press Enter.
Form.doc Microsoft Word. Edit box. Page 1 of 1. Print layout. Form.
Silence the speech and press Control Shift N to read the field name.
How old are you?
And that's our new field label. Very easy to add a manual label to a form field. We still have the original labels of the other edit boxes. Let's say we don't want this label anymore. Let's press Control Insert F.
Edit box.
And we'll get rid of this text. Press Enter.
Form.document.
And now what's our field name say?
What is your name?
And we're back to what is your name. So it's very easy to control the labels of form fields now in Microsoft Word. There are several new hotkeys to navigate Microsoft Word. Let's go into the Windowize control panel with Control Backslash.
Windowize active words point zero.
And we'll silence the speech. We'll go to the hotkeys menu. Let's press the Alt key.
My left pull down.
And arrow to the right.
Keyboard K pull, mouse M pull down, hotkeys O pull down.
And we'll go down through the hotkeys menu.
Cursor, C dialog, mouse,
cursor,
M dialog,
or mouse,
MSA, S dialog,
MSAA hotkeys,
miscellaneous, I dialog,
miscellaneous hotkeys,
user windows, W dialog,
user windows,
office, O dialog,
and office hotkeys. We'll press enter here.
List box, keys K, top, line next colon, alt dash period.
Now these are hotkeys that pertain to Microsoft Word only for the moment with version 5.0 of Windowize. We can arrow down
line
through
prior
these.
Colon, alt dash comma, two of 27.
These are Windowize keys to move up and down through the lines. You could also use your up and down arrow, but depending on the formatting of the text you're in, you may need to use the Windowize up and down arrow.
Spelling
key.
Slash grammar next colon, alt dash apostrophe. Spelling slash grammar prior colon,
so
alt dash semicolon, 4 of 27.
This is where you can come in, and as usual, you can customize them to your liking. If you don't like the defaults, you can change the hotkeys to suit your needs. So that's where the hotkeys are located for Microsoft Word. We'll press Escape.
Windowize active.
Two times.
Form.doc Microsoft Word.
Another item that has changed immensely is the verbosity dialog. In previous versions of Windowize, this was a verbosity pull-down instead of a dialog. Instead of going through the menus now to get to the verbosity dialog, we can press Insert V, as in verbosity. Now with Windowize 4.5, you could press Insert V as long as you were in MSAA mode and get to the verbosity settings for MSAA. However, now you can press Insert V anywhere. If you're in MSAA, you'll be presented with the MSAA verbosity dialog. If you're in Microsoft Word, you'll be presented with the new Word verbosity dialog. And if you're anywhere else, you'll be just presented with the dialog of a listing of verbosity settings, much like you would have found in the menu. Let's go to the desktop real quick with Windows M.
Desktop, list view, GMA tank commander.
And we'll press Insert V.
Dialog, verbosity settings, list box, groups G, top, activated, 1 of 8.
So
dialog.
I can arrow up and down
verbosity
this
settings.
List.
Attribute changes, focused, menu, for miscellaneous.
So if I wanted to change something in menu, we'll arrow up.
Menu, 4 of 8.
We could tab.
Checkbox, unchecked, menu opened.
So just as you would have found in the verbosity menu in the Windowize control panel, we now have a dialog box with a listing of the exact same items that were in the list, rather in the menu, and you can tab. The nice thing about this is you don't have to go out of one area to go to the next. So we'll get out of this.
Desktop.
And we'll go back to Microsoft Word.
Document 1, Microsoft Word. Document 1, Microsoft Word.
There
leave
we go.
Field 1, style normal.
And we'll press Insert V here.
Dialog, verbosity settings, list box, elements, top, columns, 1 of 10.
So now we're in the verbosity for Word. You can easily switch again to another verbosity category by shift-tabbing.
List box, groups G, bottom, Word. 8 of 8.
So since we're in Word, it automatically brought us to the verbosity dialog for Word. We can arrow up.
MSA, 7.
MSAA.
Mouse, 6. Miscellaneous. Menu, focused. 3
and
of 8.
And if we begin tabbing.
Checkbox, unchecked. Focused.
We have our controls for our verbosity settings for focused items.
List box. Groups G.
We'll go focused. Back down.
End of line. Bottom. Word. 8 of 8.
To the word verbosity.
List box.
Press tab.
Elements. Top. Columns.
So.
1 of 10.
We can choose 10 different verbosity settings here.
Fields.
Arrow down. Those are
10.
Fields.
Headers, footers.
Headers,
3.
And footers.
Miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous.
4 of 10.
Let's.
Pictures, objects.
Pictures,
5
and objects.
Of 10.
If we tab through here.
Checkbox. Checked. Indicate pictures, objects.
So this we can change whether WindowEyes will notify us of pictures and objects in our document. So very extensive verbosity dialog. You have so much control over what you hear and how you hear it, which is something that WindowEyes has been excellent in providing. To gain an understanding of what all the verbosity settings do, I highly recommend, again, reading the README file when you get your new version of WindowEyes. Like I mentioned earlier, WindowEyes 5.0 has focused pretty much on Microsoft Word. However, that's not the only new item that WindowEyes is offering. There's now a new color dictionary. In the past, if you wanted to know the color of an item, all you would hear is RGB values, red, green, and blue, because those are the three primary colors that make up all the other colors. So you'd hear something like R0, G0, B0 on R255, G255, B255. Well, that's black on white, but if you didn't know what the numbers meant, you were at a total loss. So let's go to the top of our Word document with our mouse key, top left.
Top left.
And let's go to our title bar.
Form.doc.
Let's see what color this is. I'm going to press Control Insert on the numpad and the period on the numpad.
ANSI 102. 8 points bold highlighted. White on shade of midnight blue. Mouse.
White on shade of midnight blue. Wow. Let's go down.
Request file 100. Normal. Style control. Edit box. With it, grab which MS 14. Final showing markup. 1, 2. Blank. Blank. What is your name?
So now we're on text that says, what is your name? Let's see what color this is.
HW.
Make sure our mouse is on the W and C.
ANSI 87. Times New Roman 14 point normal. Black on white. Mouse.
So that's black on white. So now you'll gain a better understanding of color information with WindowEyes. WindowEyes 5.0 offers so many enhancements to the functionality of Microsoft Word that I highly recommend reading the README file to see what all the changes are. There are just actually too many for me to go through here. I just wanted to hit on some of the major things which I thought would give you an idea of what to expect with WindowEyes 5.0. But there's so many different hotkeys in Word. There's so many different things that WindowEyes is now providing access to, such as comments and references, footnotes, heading, style information, field information, and the list just really goes on and on and on. So please, please, please read the README file when you get your WindowEyes beta, or even if you get the full release once it's officially released. Please read the README file to see what all the changes are to Microsoft Word. Again, there's just way too many really to go through without making this a tutorial on how to use Microsoft Word. I just wanted to highlight some of the really cool things that GW Micro has done with WindowEyes to provide access to a powerful word processor such as Microsoft Word. Powerful processor in Microsoft Word. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, you can contact me at fire975@yahoo.com. That's fire975@yahoo.com. You can also contact GW Micro for upgrade price information at support@GW Micro. That's GWMICRO.com. You can also call GW Micro at area code 260-489-3671. That's 260-489-3671. 3671.
Sincere thanks to our contributors on Main Menu this week. And don't forget, of course, it's your program. And if you'd like to submit an item for consideration, then drop us a line, mainmenu@acbradio.org. Until next time, I'm Dave Williams. Bye for now.